Chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Verse 18. Everybody say, yet.
Yes.
Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Woo. Title of my message is When It Doesn't Make Sense. When It Doesn't Make Sense. I would hope this morning that this is not a surprise to anyone here. But did you know that life comes to us with problems already built in, Brother North? You're not going to get through this life without trouble, without hardships, without pain, without getting your heart broken at least once or twice, without being lied on, persecuted, and despised. And then we could even throw in some betrayal, deception into the pot, because how many know that's just life? And all you have to do is look in the Bible and you will see what I'm talking about. Amen. David was a great man of God, a great king of Israel. And yes, he was a worshiper. But that did not exempt David from pain. And if you study David's life very much, you will see a man whom, even though God called him a man after his own heart, David endured much pain. And of course, we know there was that man by the name of Job. The Bible says that he was a righteous man. Yet he endured more grief and pain than what most of us could ever imagine in a lifetime. The Bible then is full of examples, but I believe the point is clear. Sometimes life hurts. Sometimes you're in the pit, and sometimes you're in the fire. And sometimes things happen that just don't make sense. Like the prophet Elijah in the Old Testament. Sometimes you're on the mountain calling fire down from heaven. And sometimes you're in the cave hoping Jezebel doesn't find you. There are just some things that happen to us all just because we live in a fallen world. And then there are things that are demonic in nature, those attacks that come straight from hell. The Bible speaks of our adversary, the devil, who goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In fact, Jesus described him this way in John 10:10. He said, "The thief," speaking of the devil, "cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy." So I've said all of that to get to this point. Last Sunday, I gave the answer to the question, what do we do then when God doesn't make sense? I said, we keep believing God. We keep trusting God. And yes, we keep on praising God. Amen. Yet, guess what? There will be times in your life when praise does not make sense. And when we talk about making sense of something, we mean that it is understandable and that it is agreeable to what is before us and is logical and reasonable. But this man of God in our text this morning was doing something that just made no sense. He was standing in the midst of chaos, in the midst of loss, in the midst of emptiness and confusion and disappointment. And he did something then that sent shockwaves through hell and applause through heaven. He said, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Basically, here's what he said. I've decided I'm going to praise my God even when it doesn't make sense. I may be going through a season of sickness. I may be grieving over the loss of a loved one. I may be walking through some family turmoil. I may be crying myself to sleep at night over my lost sons and daughters. There may be threatening foreclosure on my house, and the repo man just towed my car away. My company says they're downsizing and might have to lay me off before Christmas. So in times like these, what are we going to do? Even better yet, what are we not going to do? First of all, I'm not going to let my feelings and my emotions, Brother North, get in the way. I'm not going to go into deep depression. I'm not going to run to the fridge and try to drown my sorrow in food. I'm not going to get angry at God and accuse Him of not loving me or quit coming to church because I think no one cares about me. No, I'm going to do what David did. I'm going to first of all encourage myself in the Lord. And then I'm going to get my praise on. I'm going to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I'm going to first make sure that there's nothing wrapped around my mouth and my ears to hinder me where I cannot praise God with my mouth. I'm going to give Him praise that's due His name. The psalmist David wrote this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with me. Bless His holy name." Can I just tell you that God never promised us a rose garden, meaning a problem-free life. But here is what He did promise us, written in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you." Psalm 34 and 19 tells us, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all." Everybody say all. Can I just pause a moment then and tell you something? The church is filled with pretty praisers. The church is filled with pretty praisers. People that will praise God when everything's pretty, when the weather's nice, and when the bills are paid. They will praise God when all the children are saved and when their body feels good. And when they got money in the bank, Brother North, you find they're there quick to give God the nice, pretty praise. Their face, Brother Danny, never gets scrunched up. Their mascara never runs. And they don't cry. And they don't even get their clothes out of sorts. In fact, they would not jump or shout or dance if the building was on fire. But I'm going to tell you something that might just surprise you. Did you know that God would rather have your ugly praise than your pretty praise? Listen now, it doesn't take any confidence, and it doesn't take any faith in God, and it doesn't take any effort to praise God when everything is going great in our lives. And yes, we definitely should be praising God during those times. But what gets the tension of heaven and what paralyzes hell is that thing called ugly praise. The praise that just don't make sense. And I know it's not correct to use two negatives in a sentence, but I want to make a point. I'm talking about the praise that when your face is all scrunched up, the praise that is hard to tell if it's a praise or a moan, that praise that runs down your face and onto your shirt or your blouse, that praise that you have to reach way down deep for. The praise that is aggressive. It's just downright ugly. It ain't pretty. The dictionary defines ugly as very unattractive, unpleasant to look at, offensive to the sense of beauty, displeasing in appearance, messy and objectionable. Watch this. Did you know that pretty praisers get uncomfortable around ugly praisers, Sister Sunny? Why? It's because ugly praisers ain't worried about winning a beauty contest. Here's why. They're just trying to hang on to their sanity. And pretty praisers have a problem with real praise. Because real praise might get loud and it might get right down ugly. I'm here this morning to tell somebody, when God doesn't make sense, you just praise Him. And when praise doesn't make sense, you just do it anyhow. Look at somebody, tell them, just do it anyhow. Don't worry about trying to pretty it up. Just do it. And I'm going to tell you personally, I've been in some ugly situations. And the truth is this, there wasn't a pretty praise, Brother Danny, anywhere around me. All my praise was ugly praise. And guess what? God still loved me. Somebody needs to know that God still loved you through your ugly praise. So just give Him some ugly praise. I want to take a few minutes and introduce you to a couple of ugly praisers in the Bible. How about that? I got time, okay. First, there was Job. Job chapter 1, it said, verse 1, it says, Job was perfect and upright, an upright one that feared God and hated evil. And then we see down in verses 13 through 22 of chapter 1, in just 10 little verses, Job lost everything. One particular enemy, the Sabians, took his oxen and his donkeys and killed all of his servants there but one. And then fire fell from the sky and burned up his sheep and all the servants there but one. Another enemy, the Chaldeans, took his camels and slew his servants, all except one. And then all of his sons and daughters were at the oldest brother's house, and a great wind smote the house, and all the children were killed. All of this news hit Job, hit his life in a matter of 10 verses here. What did Job do? We find then that he gave God some ugly praise. Chapter 1 and verse 20 says, he got up, he rent his mantle, he shaved his head, and he fell down upon the ground and began to worship mighty God. Let's look at another ugly praiser in the scriptures. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 7, we find David and his men had returned from a military campaign and found their city, Ziklag, burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had all been taken captive. And then David and the men that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And then it says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And this is where David gave God then some ugly praise. They had been weeping and crying until they had no more power to weep. No doubt David was physically exhausted. He did not look like a great warrior. He did not look like a great worshiper at that moment. His eyes were most likely swollen and bloodshot. But what he did turned everything around. Right there in the middle of the pain, he gave God a praise that again did not make any sense. He gave God an ugly praise. And God, in response to David's praise, gave him a supernatural turnaround. And he recovered every single thing that the enemy had stolen. I feel like somebody this morning hearing this today is one ugly praise away from their miracle. I hope you're hearing this morning. One ugly praise away from a supernatural breakthrough. One ugly praise from a turnaround. One ugly praise from your prodigals coming home. One ugly praise from your turning that lack into abundance. One ugly praise away from that anointing being stirred up within you. One ugly praise from a healing that has taken too long but is coming. Let me tell you about two more ugly praisers. You may know them better as Paul and Silas. And we find them over in Acts chapter 16. They are busy working for the master. And the Bible says that when a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, began to follow them around and saying, "Well, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." This she did, the Bible says, many days. But Paul, being grieved in his spirit, turned and said to that evil spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that same hour. Now, when our masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas, and they began to accuse them of being troublemakers, teaching customs which are not lawful to receive or observe. And the multitude, the Bible says, rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and beat them and laid many stripes upon them and then thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And then we see our two ugly praisers sitting there then in the darkness at midnight, humiliated, backs beaten black and blue, their clothes ripped off of their bodies. And then the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Understand with me this morning, they gave God an ugly praise. Again, a praise that does not make no sense at the moment. Right there in the midst of their darkness, right there in the midst of their pain, when most people would be crying, moaning, and groaning, and complaining, and deciding whether the ministry was worth it or not. Right there, they gave God an ugly praise. Through the humiliation, through the tears and the fears, through the pain, through the beaten back, being black and blue. They may not have passed, watch this, they may not have passed the qualifications then for the church praise team. But there was something about that ugly praise that God liked. And guess what? It got God's attention. In Acts chapter 16, you can read it for yourself, verse 26. It says, And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's band was loose. And it goes on to say that the jailer and his whole family got born into the kingdom that night. All because of two men who were not ashamed to give God an ugly praise and to praise God when it did not make any sense. We've already then talked about him once in Scripture, but let's look at David one more time. Here he is bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, and he begins to be overwhelmed with thanksgiving. He starts to dance and rejoice, and he starts whirling around, and the Bible says he danced right out of his kingly apparel. Then let's look at what happens when ugly praise shows up. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 20. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David, and here's what she said. Well, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of all the handmaidens of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. And David could have said, oh, honey, you're so right. That was a shameful thing for me to do today. And it certainly was no way for a king to act. I should have composed myself. I should have behaved myself better. I'm so sorry that I embarrassed you. Notice now I said he could have said those things. But guess what? He didn't say one of those things. Verse 21 and 22 shows us what he said. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before your father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than this, and will be base in my own sight of the handmaids that thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Now let me paraphrase this for just a moment, if you did not understand it clearly. Here's what David was saying. I was not dancing for you. And I was not dancing for the servants. I was not dancing for the handmaidens. But I was dancing before the Lord who chose me and made me king. And if you thought that praise was over the top, that was offensive and distasteful to you. If you thought that my last praise was ugly, you hadn't seen anything yet. As I stand here before you this morning, having been in church all my life, I still may not really understand it all, but I do know it's true. There's something powerful in an ugly praise.
Amen.
There's something powerful in an ugly praise. Watch this. God responded to Paul and Silas's ugly praise, and he took the jail off its foundation.
Yes, he did.
God responded to Job's ugly praise and gave him back double everything that he had lost. God responded to David's ugly praise, and he recovered everything that the enemy had stolen. And there then, of course, is a man by the name of Jonah, who after 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale gave God an ugly praise. sitting down in a whale's belly, covered in seaweed. Now, can you imagine? Here's what Jonah said. But I will sacrifice unto you with a voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And verse 10 says it this way. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the ground, upon the dry land. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying that when Jonah gave God an ugly praise that just don't make no sense, God told that whale to spit him out. And guess what? When ugly praise filled that whale's belly, it made him sick. And he spit Jonah out. And guess what? He did not come out very pretty. How did he come out? He came out ugly. But guess what? He came out. Amen. Now listen to me this morning. If you will determine that today, from this point on, with your whole body, spirit, soul, and body, your whole being, you will, if you'll begin to give God an ugly praise, I happen to believe that you'll begin to see some things start to change for your good. I believe that something will shift on your behalf, and you will see that breakthrough in your situation. Now, how many know every soldier needs to renew their strength? Review their strategies and even rest before the next battle. And while we never want to lose our edge and we never want to fall asleep spiritually, we ourselves, as part of the Lord's army, must experience times of refreshing from the Lord. Listen now, there comes a time when you have to put fear under your feet. And it actually should stay there. And yes, then open your mouth and praise the Lord. I encourage you today to make a concerted effort every day to let the joy of the Lord be stirred up in your spirit. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Make time to laugh and give God praise while you're driving down the road, while you're sitting in your easy chair. No wonder the devil wants to shut down our praises, because he knows that God inhabits the praises of his people. The devil not only hates to hear the children of God singing and laughing and shouting praises to God, but understand, the devil dreads it to hear it. Because guess what? The devil knows praise is what binds him. Praise is what confuses him. Praise is what creates an atmosphere for the power of God to manifest in a believer's life. Praise demolishes depression. Praise opens doors that are closed and closes doors that are open. Try turning off the country music and the news and put on some praise music and watch the atmosphere change. And again, it opened the prison doors for Paul and Silas, but it shut the mouths of the lions where Daniel spent the night. Praise is that guided missile that will strike with precision the foundation of satanic strongholds. Again, no wonder the devil does not want us praising God. I don't know what it does to you, but when I look back at the two and a half years as we went through this pandemic and realized how the devil had strategically was using this to muzzle the church and to make us ineffective. There's a righteous anger then that wants to rise up in me where I want to rebel. And it's a godly rebellion, just like the children of Israel rebelled against the bondage of Egypt. I can't speak for everybody else, but there's something in me that rises up against anything or anyone that wants to take my liberty away. And I'm here to tell you, they'll do it when the Republicans are in charge, and they'll do it when the Democrats are in charge. It don't matter what party is there. Or put restrictions on my life. And especially as it relates to me worshiping my God. Remember, as a born-again believer, we still live then in a mortal body. And our minds have to be renewed on a daily basis. And that's done through taking time to study and read the Word of God. And allow then the Holy Spirit to guide us and to show us the way to go every day of our lives. We don't look at the 5 o'clock news or the morning news for our daily instructions. Or I would hope that you don't. We go to the Word of God and we stand on the Word of God. And whenever the media and the world system is speaking or acting contrary to the Word of God, understand the decision has already been made. We will obey the Word of God. Can you say amen with me today? Reith, come on back up. So if you've been saved and around the church for some time, then you have heard the prophetic decree of a last day mighty revival, a last great awakening that's coming before the Lord returns. Understand that it's not going to happen when the church, with the church asleep or sitting on its laurels. If the church, though, will rise up and take up the challenge and push through and burst this next awakening, then something very powerful is going to happen. Yet it won't happen without bold, passionate, intense, self-sacrificing prayer and intercession. And yes, including some ugly praise when it don't make sense. Let's stand together. Let me end with these words to this worship song as a declaration. Here we go. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Louder than the unbelief, I raise a hallelujah. I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're going to hear my praise roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated and the King is alive. Would you give God glory today? Hallelujah. 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 All there's left to do is praise Him. All there's left to do is just praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I praise You today. Oh, we give You the glory. We give You the glory. Now, I know you've been sitting, but can we just stand? Can we just praise Him for a little bit? I'm telling you, God's ready to do even some more before you leave today. If you have to go, I understand. But right where you're standing, can we just praise Him? You praise Him in your own way. What are you needing today? What are you wanting today? He's ready. He's ready. He's ready. Not for the pretty praise. He's ready for the ugly praise. When it don't make no sense. Well, Pastor, I just don't know how it's all going to turn out with my family. Then you give Him some ugly praise. I just don't know how I can get out of this hole, this financial hole. Then why don't you give Him some ugly praise? Hallelujah. Lord, I praise You today. Oh, I just praise You today. I thank You today. Oh, Lando Rabasata Bashata Bakaya. Londiria Bahasata. Korata Sata Shata Baha. No, Namanaya Namahasata. Le Ando Rabasata Shataka. Londo Rabaha. Oh, ha ha ha. Woo! Ha ha ha. Oh, it don't make no sense, God. It don't make no sense. Hada Rabashata Basata. Lora Bahasata Bashata Baha. Oh, I don't know how it's going to change on my job. Oh, it don't make no sense, God. Oh, but I'm going to give You some ugly praise today. I don't know how that boss, how he's going to change the way he's acting against me. It don't make no sense, but I'm going to praise You. I'm going to give You some ugly praise today. Ah, da 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 bashata basata. La da 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 la bashata. Oh, la basata bashata basata bakaya. Londora basata bashata bahaya. Londora baya namohosata. Nay, namana makata bahasata. Oh, it don't make no sense, God. It don't make no sense. Oh, ha, 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 ha. Why don't you get somebody by the hand. Oh, and just walk with them. Or just stand there with them. It don't matter. It's just not going to make any sense. But we're going to give Him some ugly praise before we leave today. Oh, ha, ha. Oh, it don't make no sense. Oh, but my family's having a turnaround. And it begins today. It begins today with me. Hando mama na masata bahashata. Oh, la basata bahashata. Ando rasata hashata. Kaya no mosata bahashata kaya. Loro mosata la bahashata bahaya. Ah, oh, hey, e, ah, oh, oh, la basata bahashata basata. Lando rabasata. Landora basata. Oh, I praise You. I praise You. I praise You. I praise You. If that's all you can say, just say, I praise You today. I praise You. I praise You. He's not looking for a pretty praise. He's not looking for a pretty praise. He wants everything. He wants your whole being. Oh, shata basata bahada bahasata. Down deep. Oh, ah. Oh, like Brother Danny said, I'm taking it. Oh. Ha ra basata bashata. Lora basata bashata. Hallelujah. 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 Your children's salvation is one ugly praise away. Your husband's salvation is one ugly praise away. Your healing is one ugly praise away. Hallelujah. What are you needing? What are you needing? What do you want? Ha. Arabasata bashata. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ha. Ha. Oh, yes. 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 Oh, Lord, I thank you today. I thank you today. Help us to leave today changed. Changed in our thinking. Changed in our thinking. Changed in our thinking. Changed in our thinking. Changed in our acting. Everything. Everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. You determined today that the thief is not going to steal anymore of your stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. He's not going to have your children. He's not going to have your children. He's not going to have your children. How determined are you? Don't you give up on your children. You give them an ugly praise. I'm telling you, he'll do it. The chains will break. Right now, I lift up every child. I lift up the children to the parents in this body today. And we command the enemy to take his hands off of our children, off of our grandchildren. Give them a clear mind to make the right choice. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We bind the work of the enemy in Jesus' name. Every ambushment. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for a Holy Ghost mind today. Hallelujah. Take away the smoky mind. Hallelujah. Give us a Holy Ghost mind today. Thank you, mighty God. Well, glory. God is good. Would you just worship one more time with a hand clap as we end today? Hallelujah. You give God that praise. It's all right. It's all right. Make a point to laugh every day. Laugh. Receive the joy of the Lord. Laugh at the devil, the enemy. God laughs at the devil. He laughs at the enemy. Hallelujah. Watch something. Expect a turnaround this very week. You may even receive a phone call tonight. Mom, I don't know what's going on. Something got a hold of me today. I don't know what it is, Mom. It just don't make no sense. Mom, I was just sitting at my table. I was sitting on my bed. And something just, it was like the blinders just came off of my eyes. You believe it can happen. Hallelujah. You take it. You take it today. You take it for yourself. You take it for your family. You take it for your church family. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I thank you today for what you've done. I speak blessings over this body today as we go from this house, Lord. I thank you for that hedge of protection around about us. Oh, bring us back. Bring us back safely at the appointed time. We just give you the praise. We give you the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. God bless you. I love you.